If you would look back to chapter 8, that's where this section begins. 1 Corinthians 8:1 says, "Now concerning food offered to idols." And he goes in and he will explain this. And chapter 10 is part of the answer that he gives. What about food offered to idols? What's going on with food offered to idols? Well, in the Greek and Roman world, as they worshipped their idols, whatever those idols were, they would come and they would offer meat. They would offer a sacrifice to the idol. They would burn it there. They would probably burn on their altar there the least liked portions, which for me would be liver automatically. They would then eat part of that sacrifice, and then if anything was left over, sometimes they would sell it in the market. And so the Corinthian church has written to Paul, or somehow got a question to Paul, asking him, "Paul, can we eat meat that has been offered in a pagan festival? Can we eat meat that's been offered to idols? After all," Paul explains, "you know, we know that idols are nothing; they're not real. So does it? They're actually offering the idol to nothing. Well, can we eat that meat, Paul? For example, can we buy meat in the market that's been offered in an idol's temple? Can we eat meat that has been offered to idols at our unsaved friend's house? We go over to somebody's house for dinner, and they serve meat. Should we say, was this offered in sacrifice at an idol's temple? Or just eat without asking?" And that's the answer he gives them. And finally, can we go to a pagan sacrifice, which is probably the most crazy question, and eat the meat that's been offered to idols? I mean, we don't worship these idols, but can we do that, Paul? It would be similar. The only thing I can think of remotely similar to this, several years ago, I think it was 11 years ago, Christy and I were driving through Colorado. We were near Divide. We were staying in a cabin up in the mountains. We spent a day driving around. We took a day trip down to Cripple Creek. We got there around breakfast time. We ate breakfast at Cripple Creek. The only place to eat breakfast in Cripple Creek is a casino. Not being a gambler myself, and you know, knowing that there are, you know, some biblical cautions about gambling, you know, what about eating breakfast in a casino? That's the only thing remotely similar to this issue, you know, I can see. The French toast was fabulous. It was $5. That's the setting. Now, this is going to make sense as we get to the Lord's Supper, so just stay with us. Hang with me. That's the setting. But we need to go see the sense of what this is talking about. And the sense of this passage comes in the word participation and participant. Your version might say a sharer or sharers or communion or fellowship or something like that. But those are the key words that will give us the sense of this issue about food offered to idols. So let me read the paragraph that follows, beginning in verse 14 of 1 Corinthians 10, and listen for participation or participant. And we'll stop, and after we read, we'll explain what Paul's saying. "Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Consider the people of Israel. Are not those who eat the sacrifices participants in the altar? What do I imply then, that food offered to idols is anything? Or that an idol is anything? No. I imply that what pagans sacrifice, they offer to demons and not to God. I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Shall we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He?" Did you hear it? Come up not just once, not just twice, five times. Three examples of participation. He begins by talking about participation in the Lord's Supper. He talks about Israel participating in the altar through their sacrifices. He talks about participating in, finally, in a pagan sacrifice. There is a real taking part in each of these examples. You really take part in something in each of these, Paul says. We ended up on the pagan sacrifice. He says, when you eat at a pagan festival, you really take part in demons that operate behind the idol worship when you attend a pagan sacrifice. Verse 20, no, I imply that what pagan sacrifice they offer to demons and not to God. I do not want you to be participants with demons. And so there's answer to one of those issues. Can we go eat meat at a pagan festival? Paul says, demonic activities behind that don't go away because you really are participating, taking part in demons. All right, now the one right before that was about Israel. The Israelites really took part in the offerings on the altar. Verse 18, consider the people of Israel, that means Old Testament saints. Are not those who eat the sacrifices participants in the altar? If a Jew went to the temple while that system was operating and to give a thank offering, they would bring an animal, the priest would sacrifice it, and then what would they do? They would have a feast. They would have a feast. Furthermore, anybody there on business at the temple got to participate in the feast. Family members, if you happen to be offering your own offering and somebody gives a thank offering and there's extra meat, whoa! Timing is everything. You really took part in the altar. You ate part of it. And furthermore, we know that the priests did that too. They ate parts of the sacrifices that they were allowed by God to eat. So there's a real taking part in the table of demons. Paul says, I don't want you to be a participant. There was a real taking part for the Israelites in the altar. And then now, here's the important one, the really important one. There's a real taking part in the body and blood of Christ. And that's in verse 16. The cup of blessing that we bless, that would be the third cup at a Passover feast, the cup that Christ used. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? You are really taking part in the body and blood of Christ when you take the Lord's Supper. Huh. Well, what in the world does that mean? I mean, that sounds, Rob, a little more than do this in remembrance of me, doesn't it? How do we participate in the body and blood of Christ through the Lord's Supper? That's what we need to know. So let me go on now and give you the specifics. How do you participate in the body and blood of Christ as we take the cup and the bread? There's three ways. Three ways that we participate. The first way, not literally. How do you participate? Not literally. This is very important. We do not believe that what is in here and what is in here is the literal body and blood of Christ. There are denominations who believe that it is. Some of you grow up in the Roman Catholic Church, and you're familiar with a doctrine called transubstantiation. You don't need to write that down. It's simply the belief that as the priest blesses the elements, they become the literal body and blood of Christ, even though it still resembles a wafer and juice. Underneath those, it is really the body and blood of Christ. The Lutheran Church holds something similar, although not quite that. Martin Luther believed that Christ was present in, with, and under the elements. And I don't understand that one either. How could it be different from the Roman Catholic view if Christ is in, with, and under the elements? Well, there's two problems with these views. First of all, in the upper room, as Christ said, held up the broken loaf and said, "This is my body." Surely the symbolism wouldn't have been lost on the disciples. Surely the 12 would have known that as he said, "This is my body," his own body stood separate from it, yet unbroken on the cross. That symbolism wouldn't have escaped the disciples' attention. When Christ said, "This is my body," they would have understood him to be speaking symbolically. And furthermore, the problem with a literal view of this being the body and blood of Christ is that this goes against what Christ himself describes the meal as. Christ himself describes the meal as a memorial. He says, does he not, "Do this so we participate." There is a real taking part, but not literally. Not literally. This does not become the body. This does not become the blood. That's why when communion is over and it's carried back into the kitchen, we can feel free to pour it down the drain. I believe in the Roman Catholic Church, they're not free to do so. And there's lots of old jokes about priests and holy wine. You've heard those. That's why they can't throw it away, because it's the blood of Christ. We participate, but not literally. We participate, secondly, and this is another not reapplying it. We participate not literally. This is not literally the body and blood of Christ. We participate not reapplying the body and blood of Christ. Jamie and I were driving back from moving Christine yesterday, and we talked about deck stains and porch stains, and Jamie's staining his porch, and I'm fixing to have to restain my porch this fall because the stain's coming off. And I think sometimes we treat the blood of Christ, his payment for our sin, like deck stain. It's starting to wear thin. I need to have it reapplied. Now, certainly this morning, we want to bring any unconfessed sin to Christ and bring it to him. Friend, if you've trusted in Christ, there is no need for reapplication of his blood for you. And we know this specifically from Hebrews chapter 10. The first application did the job. Romans 6:10 says the first application did the job. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. I don't know if you could hear it any clearer, because that says it so clearly. Hebrews 10:11-14. Any doubt in your mind whether the first job did the trick? That pretty much nails it. Romans 6 says, "For the death he died to sin once for all." So we come participating not in a way that reapplies the body and blood. Now, we constantly need grace and mercy to make it through life. His blood and body have innumerable effects. How then, if it's not literally and if it's not reapplying it, Rob, how do we participate then? Because this language in 1 Corinthians 10 is really different. And I'm not used to reading this passage when I take the Lord's Supper, and that's why I picked it. How do we participate? The third way, the way we do want to do, is by remembering. Now, when I say that word remembering, it's going to trigger things in your mind automatically. When we use the word remembering, we remember birthdays. We remember to take out the trash. Things like that. Honey, remember to change the light bulb. And sometimes I think you and I approach the Lord's Supper with that kind of remembering. And so we gather on the Lord's Day on Sunday morning. We take the elements. We remember them. Plip! And then it's gone. Our remembering is no more than no more significant than remember to take out the trash. It's blasphemous even to think that. Is it not that we could file the death of Christ in the same category as remembering trivia? I think that's how we remember. Is that what Christ meant when he said, do this in remembrance of me? No! This chapter, this verse, 1 Corinthians 10:16, sheds a whole new light on that kind of remembering. It's a remembering that involves savoring. It's a remembering that involves feasting. It's a remembering that involves enjoying all that His body and blood did for us. John Piper put it like this. We participate. There's our word again. We participate in the cup and the bread by feasting on what the blood and the body of Christ obtained for us when He died. What did it obtain for us? Friend, if you sit here this morning trapped in sin's grip, it purchased your freedom. 1 Peter 2:24, He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed. If you this morning believe that there are sins beyond number piling up on you, then His death purchased forgiveness from those. Ephesians 1:7, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. According to the riches of His grace. If you're here this morning and you think your past is full of failures, can they drag you down with no hope of recovery? If you've blown it, His death, His blood and body purchased your future. Romans 8:28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. Have we lost all the good things He had in mind for us by sinning in the past? No. Because Romans 8:32 says, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? This is a huge verse. It's an argument from the lesser to the greater. If you haven't memorized it, I'm going to borrow Allison's boldness and say, do it this week. Or what was it? Shame on you. If you haven't memorized Romans 8:32, you need to. He who did not spare His own Son. There's the hard thing. Do you hear the hardest thing that God had to do? He did. He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all. And it argues from the greater to the lesser. That's the hard thing over there. The verse continues, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? As if to say, if the hard piece took place back here, then will He fail to finish? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? All you need for life was purchased on the cross. Let me read this quote again and finish it. We participate in the cup and the bread by feasting on what the blood and body of Christ obtained for us when He died, especially the forgiveness of sins, the gift of righteousness, and never-ending personal fellowship with Christ and His Father. Bought it all. On Sunday nights, our favorite TV show is Extreme Makeover Home Edition. And my daughters like to watch it, and most of the time we can watch it without having problems with the language. Here's why I like to watch it. Those of you who haven't seen it, set your VCR tonight. So while you're here at the tool shower, that it'll click on at 8 p.m. Here's why I like it. It's because of the end. After they've torn down the house or torn apart the house of a needy family, this crew of wacky designers, no offense to designers, but these really are, come in and they rebuild, or they'll buy a new house for this family, and it's not just a remodel, you know, it's even better than a Nick Richardson remodel, and that's really good. I mean, it's incredible what they have done to these houses. They bring the family back, you know, the thing, they stand them in front of the bus, move that bus, and there they see their brand new home. Then they take them inside, and there's all kinds of exclamations about their house. And then they walk in and they see all their bedrooms and the bonus room and the game, and sometimes there's a new car in the garage. Sometimes the builder comes and says, look, we want to make sure you can take care of this, and they'll give them a grant for the maintenance of the house. Sometimes they'll buy college for their children. Sometimes the mortgage is taken care of. It's incredible. It's incredible, and to see the joy on their faces, to see tears coming down, and when I see that, I think in my mind, that's the gospel. That we get it all. That we get everything. And that's what he means by participating. So don't you sit out there and remember, thank you, Jesus, for paying for my sin on the cross, and then throw this down like a snack. Wow, that would be blasphemous. But to feast and say, Jesus, you purchased everything through these symbols. And I take them and I savor what you've done. And I rejoice that you did it for me. That's participating. So how do we participate in the body and the blood? Not literally. Not reapplying it. We participate by remembering. But not just remembering. It's remembering that's feasting and savoring and enjoying. So, by way of application, let me encourage you, Christ follower, stop and remember. Brandon is going to play a song for us in just a minute, the words of which are in your bulletin. And while it plays, listen. And remember that Christ purchased everything for you on the cross. If you care to, turn your Bible to Romans 8:32 as the music plays and meditate on He who did not spare His own Son but delivered Him up for us all. How will He not also with Him freely give us all things? So stop and remember, first of all. Second application would be to examine yourself for known sin. As you've come in this morning, none of us has come in with clean hands, like Brian said. We've all messed up on the way to church. And use this to say, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way eternal. And if He brings something to mind, get up and take care of it. If you miss the elements, get up and take care of it. Because reconciliation always precedes worship. And then finally, third application is, as you sit here this morning, be sure of your relationship with Jesus Christ. These are symbols, but Paul tells us in the next chapter they are sacred symbols, not to be taken lightly, not to be taken without thinking. So I say to you, mom and dad, make sure your children know what is going on and have professed faith in Jesus Christ and are old enough to do this. If there is any doubt whether you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, friend, simply let him pass. Nobody's going to be staring at you. If you let it pass, there will be great relief, if anybody does, that you were thinking about what was happening. Examine. Be sure you're of your relationship with Christ. Let's take a moment now just to remember as Brandon is going to play this first song for us.